sound.
Two guys with no credentials.
Reviewing Rolling Stone 500
greatest album.
Well, that was good.
Yeah, just trying to get all that out. Yeah, great start. Professional. Welcome back, everyone, to the Sound Logic Podcast. Today, we're discussing album number 108 on Rolling Stone Magazine's Top 500 Greatest Album list. This is When the Pawn by Fiona Apple.
I thought you were going to give the full title, Mike. We'll get to that in just a minute.
I'll do it later. Yeah, I'll do it later.
This is an album that neither of us were terribly familiar with, but guess what? We got a guest. We haven't had one of those in a while. And we should probably also apologize. We haven't posted an episode for a while, but we're happy to be back. And we're happy to have Kelly Dowd back with us. Kelly, since we last spoke, has shifted to University of Michigan, still doing really cool advocacy work. And knowing who you are, Kelly, I'm sure you're fighting the good fight for those who are marginalized in our world. Kelly, for those who have been listening, was a guest. I think the first time was for the Allman Brothers Band live at Fillmore East, and then returned on Lemonade, Beyonce's Lemonade album. So there are not too many guests who make it to three episodes, Kelly. Thank you for being one of those.
Thank you for having me. I feel good. Proud.
It's good. My to music have you knowledge. Back.
Yeah, my music knowledge is able to have me here again. So,
yay.
Yeah, and well, and you reached out to us and said, "Hey, I'm a Fiona Apple fan," and we love it when people do. So, those of you listening right now, if you see something coming up here, no matter where it is in the range of the next 400 and in the next 392 albums, get in touch and let us know.
Good job. Good math.
Awesome.
But before we get started, and we really want to hear from you, Kelly, on you know, some of your experiences and memories of this album, how about we just do some details first on the album itself. So When the Pawn was released November 9th, 1999. This was Fiona Apple's second studio album, the follow-up to her successful debut, which was called Tidal, with the hit single Criminal, which is a great song, one of my favorites. All these songs on this album, though, were written by Fiona Apple herself. It charted number 46 in the UK, went to number 13 in the US. Very successful. Sales are certified around 1.1 million units worldwide to date. And Ben did mention that often when you read this title, When the Pawn, it's When the Pawn dot dot dot, because that's not the full title. The full title is... and everybody, strap in. Yep, take a deep breath here. When the pawn hits the conflicts, he thinks like a king. What he knows throws the blows. When he goes to the fight, and he'll win the whole thing before he enters the ring. There's nobody to batter when your mind is your might. So when you go solo, you hold your own hand. And remember that depth is the greatest of heights. And if you know where you stand, then you know where to land. And if you fall, it won't matter, because you'll know that you're right. I don't know if I got the parsing, the phrasing right on that. Yeah, the cadence. So the title is a poem that Fiona Apple wrote in response to unfavorable reactions from readers of an unfavorable Spin magazine cover story about her. Richard Harrington of the Washington Post called it Apple's version of Chumbawamba's I Get Knocked Down But I Get Up Again. She said it came from being made fun of, and then, of course, it becomes a thing I'm being made fun of for, is what she said. Upon its release, When the Pawn broke the record for the longest album title at 444 characters, previously held by... I missed that note, but... But then Chumbawamba, in fact, would later hold that record with 2008's The Boy Bands Have Won, whose full title contains 865 characters.
Wow.
So this is like, I guess, a thing that some artists have done. Anyways, that's that's a little bit behind the full title. Three singles for this album were Fast As You Can, Limp, and Paper Bag. So there's some details from when the album came out. Do you, I don't know if either of you have anything else for that or remember anything from when it was released. I don't personally, but we'll get to some of that later.
It seems very Fiona Apple as far as like someone.
Yes, it does.
And so she wrote a ridiculous poem for the title. That seems very, very on brand, Fiona.
Yep. And I love that it's in response to
yeah,
to somebody, you know, saying something. Sure. Fine, I will hit you back with that. Okay, so the and then we'll get to the album artwork. So again, I would say very Fiona Apple, a picture of her beautiful smiling face washed in red, and then the poem is written, it's overlaid over top. You can't really see it well. You can see when the pawn is kind of in the top left, and then everything else is a little more washed out, but I think the whole poem is written there on the front. Yeah. It's one of those images to me that's got, it's got like this two sides to it. It's kind of, it's a smile and it's warm, but it's also red. There's something a little, I don't know, foreboding about it. I think it matches some of the darker themes in the album. Anyways, that's my take on it. I wasn't as familiar with this image as I was with Title. Any comments from either of you two about the artwork?
I think similarly, I'm not as familiar with the actual artwork itself. Back in the day, I had this on a burnt CD from downloading online, if I'm being honest, back in college. So I never really saw the album art, but I was familiar with Title because I feel like it was seen more often, I guess, when she first came out. But yeah, I agree with what you said as far as like, it's almost like sinister, like, she's smiling and she looks happy, but the red kind of makes it a little naughtier, I guess.
Yeah. It has a duality almost like Hole's album that we just talked about a few episodes back, Live Through This, which is a beauty queen crying, but you can tell there's a bit more like chaos and maybe that this person is a little bit more distraught than happy, and that like that tension of something beautiful also having another side to it is I don't know, maybe it's just that they're both you know, albums from the 90s that made me think about that, but I saw that sort of echoing here.
Yeah, well, I think it's Courtney Love and Fiona Apple are like some of the few women that were, and probably Shirley Manson from Garbage, like speaking their truth and being unapologetically themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I think those kind of both match their personalities and what they're trying to say with their music.
Yeah, we mentioned, I think when we talked about Hole, that it was sort of the same era as like Spice Girls and some very poppy girl music. And to be this honest and bold and authentic in the midst of that being a dominant way to sell records is kind of an interesting middle finger to the sort of the machine that creates these stars, I think.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Fiona was like in the very center of that for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you remember when she was on MTV, like, back in, it was for Criminal, but she was like, got her award and got up there and said this whole thing's bullshit on TV. Like, that was like her, yeah, putting her middle finger up to everyone. And then this album afterwards, she wrote everything. She was out of the control of, you know, the industry itself. She very much like stepped out of that.
Wow.
I forgot that until
you started talking about it.
It was like 97. I think it was 12, but I remember that. 12 is when the Criminal came out. So, yeah, but I do remember seeing that on MTV.
Wow.
Man, what a... That's incredible. What a statement. Yeah. And how inspiring. Or angering, depending on what side of it you're on.
Yeah, exactly. Neither Mike or I are terribly familiar with this album. Kelly, what was your experience with it beyond having it burned? I think you got in touch with us saying not necessarily your favorite Fiona Apple album, but you are a big fan of her in general. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think I love things off of multiple of her albums, so there's that. But yeah, this album in particular, I think, is the one I found in college. I didn't find it. 99 when it came out. 99, I was 14, freshman in high school. So it wasn't until I started getting into more like indie music and stuff like that in college, as you do, finding the random stuff, you know, online at that point, that you couldn't always get everywhere. So Fiona, I found her through that. And then I think the next part is that it's like angry girl music. It's the music that I put on my car when I want to scream and sing at the top of my lungs, and I might be mad or I'm heartbroken or just like going through something. And it was like the stuff I would put on to let loose and get out some emotions that you don't normally get to express as a girl, especially without coming off, yeah, like a bitch or selfish, those kinds of things. You would find me definitely in 2003, 2004, driving in my car with my burnt CDs, screaming, paper bag and fast as you can. And Mistake is a good one too. That was definitely probably this album. And then a few songs off a title were like the mix that was happening in my car, pretty regularly.
That's cool. I'm afraid that she was someone who kind of scared me with that attitude and swagger. I've admitted before, I had a teenage bias towards female artists that I'm pretty embarrassed of. But in grad school, actually, we used to go and see two members from Nickel Creek would do something called Watkins Family Hour from time to time, Sean and Sarah Watkins. And Fiona's a friend of theirs, apparently. So along with a whole host of other people, she would just show up from time to time and sing a couple songs and then sit back down and just watch the rest of the show. And I just thought how cool it was that this like kind of edgy person from the 90s was making an appearance to an audience of mostly like folky bluegrass types. And I don't know, it was really cool and totally... not that she needs redeeming, but in my mind went from like someone obscure that I hadn't given enough time to like, oh, this person's really cool. I like her. And transformed something for me.
Her newer stuff has definitely gotten more folky and jazzy. And like she continues down the art pop kind of genre, I think.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cam, who was on Lemonade with us. He's another room, but this is one of his favorite albums too. And he talked about it being like art pop, that we're trying to figure out what genre is Fiona Apple.
Yeah.
She would be on the alternative stations here. Like, they would play her on 89X in Detroit, alongside Green Day and Nirvana and like all that stuff. But a bunch of her songs are pretty like jazzy and slower, and they don't really fit that traditional alternative girl rock thing. She's definitely outside of that.
Hard to categorize, I guess.
Ben, I want to comment on what you said about you remember feeling a little scared. And the word that I would think of, I remember when this was popular, maybe not this album, but like Criminal. And I remember feeling very intimidated by the music. It felt like Criminal was just a very intense song. And musically, her songs are extremely diverse, well-written, I'd say in a positive light, even complicated musically. There's just a lot going on, and she's a brilliant musician and songwriter, absolutely brilliant. You ever hear music from a person and think, man, you must have so much going on in your brain creatively that you just had to put all this into this song or this album? And that's how I feel when I listen to some of her music, that there's just so much happening. It's wonderful. But I felt like I felt it was like too mature for me, I guess, is a way, like, you know, about relationships and hurt. Obviously a different, you know, a different perspective gender wise and you spoke to that a bit, Ben. I felt like a fish out of water sometimes when I heard her songs come on, like it was too much. I'm glad I'm over that, because I can enjoy it now as just brilliant. But I could certainly see it resonating with so many people, especially young women. Just phenomenal, phenomenal music.
It's super complex, but. And I'm sure if y'all didn't really haven't listened to this album before, you probably have to listen to it a few times to really hear what she's saying, because she's speaking in metaphors and it's going really fast, and the songs kind of go all over the place sometimes. You'll, like, really have to pay attention.
Plus, we're not that bright when it comes to lyrics, so takes us some time.
I mean, I just know all the lyrics because, I've literally been singing them for 15 years. Like, Criminal used to be my karaoke jam.
Nice. Yeah.
So I think I've done Fast As You Can a couple times too, but it's a lot harder. So a few drinks in. But I love her stuff, and it just has continued to get more complex. And weird and arty, and like that it doesn't, she's not trying to follow anybody else or do what's the popular thing or anything like that.
The other thing I wanted to point out, this is her second album. When this was released, she had just turned 22.
That's wild.
Yeah,
she lived a lot of life.
I mean,
at
I'm
that
41.
Point.
I still don't know what 22. I want to do with my life. But at 22, she releases, and we talked about like Alanis, you know, and she was literally a teenager when her big hit album came out. These incredible young, talented women, not only creating incredible music, but profound and inspiring and empowering music, and being very bold in that. Thank you, Kelly, for pointing out that she, there was a big switch for her to write all her own music, to kind of step away from some of the control of the record label, because I think that's, again, such a big statement, very brave and very empowering.
Yeah, I agree.
Before we get too far into this, if you're new to this podcast, we want to let you know that we have a playlist on Spotify. It's called SoundLogic Favorites. And we always pick two songs from the album we review and we put on the playlist. The playlist is quite large now. When we have a guest, we love to have our guests pick songs. So, Kelly, if I could put you on the spot, if you could pick two of your favorites that you would want to represent this album, what would you pick? And if you need to think out loud and talk us through it, that's fine. we like that too.
I think first, probably Paper Bag. That's the biggest song. I was on Spotify earlier, you know, listening, and I think it's her most played song on Spotify, even over Criminal at this point.
Wow.
I think it showcases, yeah, her range and, like, again, all of her, like, metaphors and things she's saying and the complexity of her music in general. And then second one, it's between a couple. Like, I'm a big fan of Fast As You Can. It's not like any of the other songs on the album. Or like most of her stuff, a lot of her stuff is a lot slower, or more, I guess, like clunky sounding than being like super fast paced. I also love a song that will like change gears in the middle of it to be something different and then go back to what it originally was. I love that. So that would probably be my choice, either that, or I'm a big fan of A Mistake too. That probably gets to, again, that like girl power, feeling like you always have to do the right thing and be good and never get to make mistakes. So that would definitely be a song I'd be screaming in the car, because like I want to make it sometimes, you know, and not be so worried about being perfect and all that. So those are my choices, I think.
Paper Bag, and what do you want for your second one? Or we could go with three, I guess.
I mean, out of those two, probably Fast As You Can.
Okay.
Just because it's a jam, man.
Right. Yeah.
What are y'all's favorite songs in the album?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I want to say, I think, well, I'm going to pick a couple as well. Fast As You Can, for sure, is just brilliant. It's really good and catchy, and I could listen to it a lot. There are so many great songs. I love Limp. I really love some of the choices there. But I would say one that surprised me is the closing track, I Know, which is just a beautiful song. Just gorgeous. Softer, more of a ballad, but really, really pretty. Ben, what about you? What do you have a favorite?
Those are all good choices. I this happens sometimes when this is a new album. You wind up replaying the first track more than the others, and that's the one that I get excited to hear as we go
that's
through.
Really good too.
So On the Bound would probably be my choice. I've enjoyed the diversity of this album too. It doesn't all sound the same. For sure, and yeah, the way she plays with tempo and even mood of the songs, I think she mixes some happier sounds in with some of the heavier lyrical content, and there's some juxtaposition there too, not just with the poetry, but with the sound of the music compared with the words. I'm always fascinated to hear people talk about an artist's influence. Kelly, as someone who has grown with Fiona Apple, do you have an idea of like what this kind of overt authenticity has done for her peers, or like does she come up frequently as having inspired others? Do you hear that sort of thing?
I honestly, I don't feel like I do hear her name a lot be dropped when people are bringing up, you know, influences and stuff on them. When I'm with people and I bring her up, that's like kind of a test of like what kind of music you are into for me. Another shout out to Cam. When we first started dating, that was like one of the first conversations we had, and I was like, oh, I need to talk to this man. Like, who? Listens to Fiona, like, oof, yes. It was kind of, I think, a little bit in the beginning, a little like cliche if you're like college indie music people, because Criminal was a big hit. So like it was too mainstream at one point to be super into her, I think. But just as she's gone on and had more albums and continues to put out amazing stuff, I feel like she's earned her, you know, like notoriety more. Her influences, I would love to hear. Like, I feel like she probably, Nina Simone, like, she plays the piano and, like, her poetry and jazz and, like, stuff like that. I would love to hear her influences are, because I could feel that from her.
Yeah, and I think when you get to these artists that are kind of hard to categorize or put in a box, it does beg that question of, like, how did you get to this point here where you're creating something that's a little bit different than what's out there? Yeah, I agree with you. It'd be lovely to hear that that kind of reflection from someone like this.
Her most recent album, I think it's like Fetch the Bolts or the Bolt Cutters. Fetch the Bolt Cutters. There's a song that at the end of it is like 2 minutes of dogs barking. Like, it's gotten so interesting, but it's still like so complex and weird and amazing. So definitely worth a listen. Yeah. Newer stuff too.
Sometimes this happens with albums I appreciate. I don't really know what other directions to go in. I don't feel the need to be critical of it or to like pick it apart. I don't think that's fair to this music either. I don't know what else we need to talk about it though. It seems like
I think you just gotta appreciate it or you don't. Like, if you just don't like her, then you just don't. But like, if you're into music and you want something interesting, like, and different, that's Fiona Apple for sure.
That's what it is, isn't it? It's like you need to sort of embrace that ride, knowing that it is going to be a little bit outside the box. It's not going to be, it's not going to be maybe as palatable as some things. It's going to be a little bit weird, but it'll be fun.
And you got to maybe be in a mood. That, like, maybe you're like, I'm upset about something with my partner, and I'm not going to say it out loud to them maybe, but I'm going to sing it in the car and have a little downtime for myself and then be back in the world. But I listened to it on the way here from Ann Arbor today to Detroit. Nice and loud.
Absolutely.
But I agree with you. I don't think it needs to be picked apart. Like, what are we going to pick apart? You know, like, it's solid and it makes sense, like, where it is on the chart as far as, like, I'm glad that it's recognized in this group.
There is something, I mean, I think you mentioned that her music has shifted even more in the direction of jazz, but there is something here about the way she plays with timing, and perhaps because it is so lyrically dense, that does feel almost scat-like at times. Like, her voice and the amount of words she's using becomes another instrument. I'm curious for you, maybe, as someone who's way more into jazz than I am, do you hear that sort of thing in this music when you listen?
There's a lot of like syncopation and I apologize, Kelly, I haven't listened to some of her newer stuff. I feel like I've heard some of it, but I haven't really done a deep dive. I hear the influence of jazz more than really jazzy stuff, although I don't want to say that it isn't, because I don't think that's fair, but the syncopation and really interesting chords and chord voicings. You hear these kind of these notes when you play notes close together, like a second or even a diminished second. You hear this kind of like this, what they call like rubbing. You hear that a lot. And I think also in the vocalization very, very, very rhythmic, as you said, scat-like at times. And I think that all... I think Kelly saying that she would probably have been inspired by Nina Simone and others of that ilk. I think you're bang on, because I hear that. So I wouldn't have jumped right to jazz, but definitely upon like thinking about it, yeah, for sure, 100%. And that it's piano driven too. Like it's very piano driven, so you get that kind of. which is or traditionally more prominent in jazz music than as we get into more rock, which is more usually more guitar driven. So I'm thinking of when you said it, I wasn't sure what you meant, Kelly, but now thinking about it more a few minutes later, like that, what can we pick apart? It is, yes, so transparent and just like it's all right. It's right there for us. There's nothing, not to say that you can't dissect it or kind of delve into it more, but it's she's just laid everything out for us, especially lyrically. It's really great.
Yeah, well said. Where do you want to go from here, Mike?
Well, we're buzzing along here quite swiftly, which is fine. Kelly, is there anything else that you would want to add about the music, about the album, about your experience with it before we kind of move to the next portion? We don't want to cut you short on anything you want to contribute.
No, yeah, I wish that she played live, like, around. Like, okay. The idea of actually getting to see her live would be incredible. Like, that's bucket list for sure for myself. I feel like I should Google it and, like, actually look it up and see when the last time she played live was. But I imagine her in, like a small venue, like you were saying, Ben, or, yeah. A tiny club in London or, you know what I mean, or L.A. or something yeah. where she only does, like, boutique kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, yeah, I can picture, like, moving all around, playing all the instruments and doing all the things and just, like, wowing your socks off and leaving, just being so, I don't know, humble and just, you know, doing her thing pretty quietly. She seems like a artist, like, in the true sense, where I think some people are musicians and some people are performers, but she seems like an artist, and, like, this is her medium.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Now, Ben, did you actually get to see her at one of those Watkins family things, or you just knew that she had appeared there?
No, we got to see her. It was always a surprise to know who you were getting to see. One night, I remember Jackson Brennan was in attendance and just came up, and another night they had some quirky guests too. John C. Reilly came up on stage one time and, like, read a weird poem while they played. When Fiona Apple came up, I was like, oh, Fiona Apple, that's interesting. Nice surprise. She had that vibrancy in life like you were talking about, Kelly. I remember, I think she only sang, but she was dancing all around and she had some kind of hippie clothes on. I feel like she was, like, swinging a hat around while she played, and yeah, it was just cool. She just seemed like someone comfortable in her skin. You know, you see these people who you can tell they're putting on a show. She didn't seem to care at all what anyone thought about her that night. She was just there because it was fun.
Yeah, that does seem like her vibe in general.
Yeah.
Don't care what anyone thinks. I'm going to do my thing. And you either like it or you don't.
Yes.
I'm doing this for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, well let's move on a little bit. So first question. Go to either one of you who wants to go first. You listen to this music, we're now 25 years on from when this was released. What has aged well? And what hasn't, if anything?
I was thinking as I was listening to this, some of her kind of tongue-in-cheek lyrics actually remind me of my daughter listening to Taylor Swift right now. And
okay,
especially when she's performing live, kind of the wink and nod that she gives to her audience from time to time. Playing with the expectations, I think, too, of what you expect a female artist to be doing. That has aged really well, I think. And I mean, we've said it a million times, it seems like, on this podcast, authenticity never goes out of style. And that's definitely true of this album. I think there are some moments where, and maybe it's just because we came of age in the 90s, but it feels like a 90s tone or music quality for some reason. And I don't even know exactly what I'm saying when I say that. So maybe the two of you can help me out. But I think it's aged pretty well. It doesn't, the recording quality is good. And I could see this music coming out today. It didn't really fit with its time, and I wouldn't necessarily fit with today's music either, but it sounds well made, and I don't think it sounds dated in terms of its production.
Yeah, I would agree as far as the not sounding super dated. I do feel the 90s-ness of it, though, far as like, having a 90s feel. And maybe that's the, like, angst in it or just that we saw it, you know, Criminal and stuff like that so many times that it's been embedded that that's a 90s thing for us. But, I do think that if it came out now, like if I saw someone singing one of these songs on TikTok or something, that I would be into it. Like, I don't think... Yeah. It was like just a stuck in time. I think I would still be like, who's the girl? What is she doing? Like, these lyrics aren't saying what, you know.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. It's not stuck in time.
Right. No. That you would just hear stripped down with the piano, like banging on it, you know, and be intrigued by that for sure.
I agree with all that. I think that the music is so unique. We've talked about this before, that artists who are so unique in their time, it's ageless, really. I do hear some of the 90s stuff. There's an effect she uses on a few songs. It's like a flange where it kind of compresses and opens and shuts on the drums. You hear it a bit on, I think, Limp and on the opening track. Don't hear that as much anymore, so that seems a little stuck. Other than that, I totally agree with you, Kelly, that in the age of Taylor Swift and Olivia Rodrigo and kind of these outspoken and many other female artists, I think this would fit in very nicely. And I think if you put this, and I'm not saying it isn't, but if this became a popular thing on TikTok, I think a lot of people would assume that it's just a new track. Because I think it would fit in very nicely. There's nothing that really, you know, you hear some 90s stuff, you hear a lot of like chorus effect on the guitar or a certain way of singing that it's like, okay, this is an old song. I wouldn't jump to that conclusion on this. I think it's aged actually quite nicely. I think maybe answering this question 10 years ago might answer it differently. But today, I think, I think it's good.
I think honestly with TikTok and stuff like that, we're getting to see a whole range of people we never, you know, would have saw. Mm-hmm. People are getting famous off it because I think people's tastes are much broader than like pop music gives us, right?
Yeah.
And this is giving people a chance to really like show us something else.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody like Olivia Rodrigo or like Billie Eilish or something would do a Fiona Apple song or maybe like Miley Cyrus.
Oh, the attitude she's got does feel a lot like Billie Eilish, doesn't it? In terms of the kind of, you can tell I'm not smiling while I'm singing this sort of.
Some of them, yeah. Huh. Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, now Kelly, you touched on this next question, so I'd like to hear from you first. What about the position? Was it SoundLogic? So this is number 108. A new addition to this list, so the 2020 list. This is her debut on the Rolling Stone list. So what do you think about that in reference to some of the other albums?
Yeah, I think it's probably in a really great spot as far as like other artists on the list maybe are even more well known. Like, do kids these days quote unquote know that who Fiona Apple even is, you know, compared to some of the other artists in the top 100? I think it's a testament to like her talent and how good the album really is, I think.
Yeah.
Ben, what about you?
You know, we don't have a ton of 90s music, I don't think, in the top 100. So maybe we need a bit more. I guess, yeah, hearing you say, Kelly, you don't hear this title referenced too often as like a really influential one makes me pause just a little bit. I do feel like influence, along with popularity and lasting power, are kind of the trinity that for me need to be present for an album to be in a respectable place on this list. So I'm maybe a little bit surprised it's this high. Mike, I think you've said a time or two over the last little while, once we get down beyond 100, it kind of feels like, meh, so what? You know, like, it's the, we like have a special place reserved for the really upper tier albums here. It's great. It's a good album and one that I am glad to now know and have listened to. But I think I pause a little bit before really affirming it here at this spot. And interestingly, we'll get to this. It's a new album for this 2020 list. It's not been on the list before, even though it came out before the first Rolling Stone Top 500 album list was created. So interesting that they're kind of bringing it in here later, these the folks who were polled for this iteration. Fascinating.
Yeah, I'm curious, who do they, is, do you know who they poll for these things? Is it like mostly like execs and people in the business?
Yeah, there are some like music loving celebrities mixed in there as well. There was a lot more older white dudes in the first round. This list did a much better job with age and age, gender, and cultural diversity. But yeah. you're spot on there with like business people and other artists make up the majority of this list.
Because yeah, I would say a bunch of white female Gen Xers and millennials probably were like, "Hey, oh, Fiona."
true.
You can go on the greatest 500 albums webpage, and there's something I think right at the beginning or a tab where you can click and it'll list who they polled for the 2020 list. And Ben, you have the coffee table book of the original list, or it's very similar to the original 2003 list, and I believe in that book it lists all the people they polled for that, and you see a lot of, again, like music journalists and execs, a lot of frankly middle-aged white men, and you can see the root of the core of that list is very much rock and roll from the 60s and 70s with a smattering of some other things, whereas this list is much more diverse. You get people pulled on this list like Taylor Swift and Beyonce and other people who are more in the zeitgeist of today's music, who are making music today, and a lot of people who are sharing what influenced them, which I think is much more relevant. So, I agree with both of you on the some of those comments about the ranking. I think this is a good spot. I think it's the recognition is wonderful. That, you know, we have been, you and I have learned about so many highly influential female artists from the 90s and 2000s, like Liz Phair and Amy Winehouse and all the other people. And I think this list has helped me at least learn just how important it was, and we wouldn't have some of the music, some of the artists, female artists we have today without some of these trendsetters. Yep. And I think this list has done a much better job at identifying those artists and recognizing them, and I'm really glad.
Well said.
Well, the other thing we like to talk about at the end of each episode is are there any other albums by this artist on the list? And thankfully, there are, and again, these are all new additions. to this updated list. She had zero albums on any other version. And on this version, there's three. This is the first at number 108. And then at number 213, you get 2012's The Idler Wheel. And at number 444, you get 2005's Extraordinary Machine. So two more albums for Fiona Apple. And I'm, again, not familiar with either one of those. So we might need you to join us again, Kelly, to enlighten us on some more Fiona Apple music.
Valentine on Idler Wheel is one of my favorites. And then Extraordinary Machine is another one of those albums that was like 2005. I was still in college. I had the actual CD. I actually bought that one. And I would listen to it beginning to end in the car singing. And that one's a little more like, gotta have a couple more jazzy tunes too, where she shows her like vocal range a little bit more than this one. And so, yeah, they're definitely worth picking up for sure.
And you're onto something, I think, with that speculation that polling more Gen Xers and millennials, you know, three albums that weren't on prior lists suddenly appear on the 2021. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's an artist that benefited maybe from a younger crowd casting their votes. So, yeah, it's cool to see.
And again, like as far as 90s and 2000 women, as we were talking about before, like she's one of the few that was unapologetic and messy. And it was like, it's okay to not be perfect, to not be a Spice Girl or Britney during that time period.
So,
I would say, like we were saying, Billie Eilish and the folks today that are kind of outside the box, I think have folks like her to thank.
I think
for
that's
sure.
right. Yeah,
absolutely. Any other last words from either one of you before we wrap up here?
No, this has been great. Thanks so much, Kelly, for coming back and for being a fan and for following along, being aware of what we're getting up to too is humbling to have people like that. So yeah, thanks.
For sure. I'm just a huge, music nerd as well. So anytime I can sit and talk about an album I love and gush about it, I'm here for that. So I'll keep looking at the list and keep coming on back.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again, Kelly, for joining us. That just about wraps us up this episode. Ben, will you tell us what we have coming up next week, please?
Yeah. Next time we'll be talking about album number 109. This is Transformer by Lou Reed. An interesting one that we don't have much experience with, I don't think, you or I, Mike. And I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about.
Everyone will have to wait to find out what happens when we discuss it.
That's a good one. So get excited. Yeah.
Awesome. No surprise that your experience with that, Kelly, as you're such a massive and diverse music fan. So thanks again, Kelly, for joining us. We appreciate your voice so much. And we hope you join us again.
Yeah. Thanks again for having me.
No problem. Thanks to you at home for listening. Until next time, we hope you continue to be well. We hope you take care of yourselves and those around you. And of course, we hope you join us again right here on the SoundLogic Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you like what you hear, subscribe on your favorite podcast app and write a review.
Send us a message at our Facebook page, on Instagram, or through our SoundLogic Podcast Twitter feed. Thanks for listening.